Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Nun Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Ranan Agus in memory of Dr. Saul Agus, Shaul Gershon ben Chaim Shmuel and Ita Chaya, Zichrono Levracha, on the occasion of his fifth yard site. And it's also sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on the bottom of Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and we're about to tell the story about two Rabbanim that were traveling together. And the reason we're telling this story is because the Shaila was raised with regard to Shmira Yisera, which was the Sugya they were discussing yesterday. What if an animal has something on it that's not necessarily it's needed for Shmira, but it's more Shmira than that animal requires? Is that considered to be a Masui and therefore going to be Aser, a violation of Shvisas Behema, or not? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the halachic status of a leash for a goat. A goat has a very narrow head, and it could easily become released from its leash, so therefore does the leash accomplish anything? Maybe that's considered a Masui. The Gemara is going to discuss what Rav and Shmuel each hold about Shmira Yisera. We already saw yesterday that it's Machlokes Tanaim, whether Shmira Yisera is considered to be something that's a violation of Shvisas Behema, but Rav and Shmuel are going to take a stand in that discussion, whether it's a Masui or whether it's okay for the animal. It's just considered the regular Shmira. The Gemara is then going to discuss collars on an animal that are made for a Noi and that are made for Shmira, and particularly Rebbe's opinion when it comes to collars of an animal, based on his own practice, based on how he allowed his animals to go out on Shabbos. On the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to discuss whether an animal's collar is mekabel tumah, because in our Mishnah we talk about how to be metaher an animal's collar with hazah and with tevila while it's still on the animal. So apparently it's mekabel tumah at some point. So we're going to discuss why and how an animal's collar is mekabel tumah, and then we're going to discuss the tevila of the collar and why it's not a chatzitza, because the collar is usually connected to a ring very tightly. So the Gemara is going to have three different approaches why that would not be a chatzitza. Then we're going to discuss different types of rings as far as Kabbalah's Tumah is concerned, and also different types of needles as far as Kabbalah's Tumah is concerned. That not all rings that humans wear, the people wear, not all rings are considered the same, and not all needles are considered the same with regard to Hilchos Shabbos and with regard to Hilchos Tumah and Tahara. So let's begin again. We left off Levi Breid Ravuna Barchia. That's four lines from the end of the page. Middle line, Levi Breid Ravuna Barchia Varaba Baravuna Havuka Azli Baorcha. They were both traveling together on the road. Each one was riding on his own donkey. Kadme Chamara de Levi Lechamara de Rab Baravuna. And Levi's donkey runs ahead of Rab Baravuna's donkey. So Rab Baravuna didn't realize that it was Levi's donkey just acting wild and doing this on its own. He thought that Levi had pulled ahead of him, had cut him off in traffic. So Chalash Daite de Rabba Baravuna. Rabba Baravuna thought that was disrespectful for Levi to do that, to just cut ahead of him. So Amar Emele Milsa, Kihechi de Itosev Daite. So Rabba Baravuna said, I better say something that makes it evident that I didn't mean to cut him off and that I wasn't trying to be chutzpedik and my donkey just did this on his own. So Amar Le, he said to Rabba Baravuna that Allah is that a chamar that goes out with an afsar, that it's being protected by, that it's being with a leash that's used to guard it. So we learn from there that a prumbia, the iron thing in its mouth, which is a shmiri yaseira, more than an afsar, he's not allowed to go out with it. So what about chamor shasak of ra'im? So granted, he's not allowed to go out with a shmiri yaseira, but what if you have a chamor shasak of ra'im that acts in a wild way and that's not easily tamed? He's a crazy donkey. So kigon zem mahu latzeis prumbia b'shabbos. And, you know, like a donkey like the one that I'm riding on, that's acting on its own and that is running ahead of you when I don't want... So as instead of just saying that I didn't do this on my own, I didn't do this and the animal did it on its own, he posed it as a shaila, that if you have an animal like my crazy animal, so then what's the halacha? Is that considered a shmiri yaseira? And is it allowed to go out with the prumbia on Shabbos? And that way, Levi let Rabba Baravuna know that his donkey was different than all other donkeys because it wasn't behaving nicely. So Amar Le, so Rabbi Baravuna responded to Levi, Hachi Amar Avuchem Shmei de Shmuel, well, halacha kecharanya, that your father Rav Huna Bar Chiya said in the name of Shmuel that we paskin like Chananya, and Chananya said that a chaya is yotzei b'sogar, which means that that a shmiri yisera is mutter. So a chamar, that regular chamar that with a prumbia is a shmiri yisera for it, and it could go out on Shabbos, and therefore it's not even a shaila what you're asking. Ayel shmiri yisera is mutter, period. So once we paskin like Chananya that shmiri yisera is mutter, so then you don't really have much of a question whether a crazy donkey that needs a little bit of shmiri yisera is allowed to go out with that level of shmira. Now Tosos explains that the reason Rab Bar Rav Huna was upset was because midine kavod chacham, you have to be careful not to jump ahead of the chacham, not to run ahead of the chacham. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, that if you have three people traveling together, the rav should be in the middle and the gadol miyamino and the katan mismolo. So you see that even while traveling there are dine kavod. But Tosos raises the question that there's a Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Zayin that says that we are not mechabed bidrachim, that you could travel the whole way and you were not mechabed, people want to go in front of the more honorable person to go in front, except for psachma roi lemezuzah. Only when you get to a doorway that's roi lemezuzah, only then are you mechabed someone to go in front of you. So Rabbeinu Tam suggests that that's only when each one is traveling on its own. But when they go b'chabura achas, so then you're mechabed b'chol makom. Then you're mechabed even when they're traveling. So Nagos Maimonios, he quotes this Tosos lahalacha, that there's a difference between traveling together and traveling one by one. So the Kerem Shlomo raises the question, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch don't quote this halacha, that we're not mechabed b'drachim. Doesn't quote this chiluk of Tosos, that it's a difference between whether people are traveling together or traveling alone. The whole thing doesn't appear in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. There's a sefer called Shichachas HaOmer that was published, I don't know, a little bit over 100 years ago, where he collected all of the different halachos that are mefurish and shas, but somehow didn't make it into Shulchan Aruch. Shichas HaOmer with an aleph, not like it was a play on words, because Shichas HaOmer normally is Omer with an ayin. So Shichas HaOmer, that which was forgotten to be said, that which they forgot to put into Shulchan Aruch. So this is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Mordechai quotes a different answer to the kasha in the name of the Ravya, that when we say we're not mechabed bedrachim, that's b'makom sakana. But when it's not b'makom sakana, then of course you're mechabed, and that's what our Gemara is talking about, that we're mechabed. The Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, Parag Zayin, paskins that we're not mechabed lo b'gsharim, lo b'drachim, ele b'pesach haroi l'mezuzah, just like the Gemara in Brachos, that we're only mechabed when you reach a doorway that's roi l'mezuzah. And the Rambam is not mechalek between people who are walking alone and people who are traveling together. And he also doesn't say that it's about makam sakana. The Rambam doesn't give either of the answers, not Tulsa's answer and not the Mordechai's answer. So what's the Rambam going to say to the Kasha of Tosos, that our Gemara apparently seems to indicate that we are Mechabed Bidrachim? The Gemara in Yuma with the three people walking together seems to indicate that we are Mechabed Bidrachim. So it must be that the Rambam will explain that Rabba Bar Rav Huna was upset, not because Levi's donkey went ahead a little bit of Rabba's donkey, but rather because that wouldn't be a hakpada. There's no cover by drachim. It was that Levi didn't wait for Rav Huna, that he traveled way ahead of him. And then when Rav Huna caught up by the achsanya, wherever they were staying that night, so nice to see you again. You know, we were traveling together, and now you ran ahead of me. And that was the lack of derech eretz. That's not mishum kavod. That's mishum sakana. It's not a din of kavod that you're leaving me all alone on the roads. Who knows what could happen to me on the road? So that was an issue of sakana. So that's what Levi had to apologize, that it wasn't me, it was the animal that was doing it. Now, as far as waiting for people, it would turn out that according to the Rambam, that you have to wait for people when traveling just for a sakana reason. Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat and Sim Reish Ayin Beis writes that chamorim if you have people traveling together and one of them is a little bit slower, the other guys are not allowed to run ahead of him. And the Sma explains, because when people are traveling together, each one with his own donkey, and they're all carrying burdens or whatever it is that they're traveling with, so so once they decided that they're traveling together, you have to travel together. You're not allowed to you're not allowed to run ahead and leave someone all alone in his travels. Okay, so it says Gemara now further. We're going to talk about an afsar, a leash. Now a leash is tied onto an animal, but it's only effective because the animal's head is wider than his neck. If an animal's head is as narrow as his neck, he can wiggle his way out of the leash. So a goat happens to have a very narrow head, and normally is able to wiggle his way out of his leash. And that causes a halachic problem also in terms of carrying on Shabbos, because you're going to be walking your goat, holding the leash, and you're going to keep on walking, looking forward, and the goat's trailing behind you, and then next thing you know, the goat is two blocks before that, the goat has already wiggled his way out of the leash, and you've been carrying the leash attached to nothing for two blocks. So that's a problem, because you're not allowed to carry something dalet amos in a rishus harabim, so it's going to be a violation of hotzah on Shabbos. For yonos shisus beima, it's going to be your violation of hotzah. You're going to be carrying this leash. So Tana de Bei Menashe, Eiz Shachokak La Bein Kraneha. If you make an area between the horns of the goat, or the way the Rambam says it in the 20th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, Eiz Shachokak La Bikraneha, you actually attach the leaves into the horn. You drill a hole into one of the horns of the goat, and you put the leash into that. Then Yotzei B'Afsar B'Shabbos. Then it could go out with a leash on Shabbos, because then we're not worried that it's going to wiggle its way out. By Rav Yosef, Tachav La Bizik Namahu. What if you attach the leash to the beard of the goat? So do we assume that it will get its way out of that as well? Kivan Di Menatach LeKa'iv La Lo Asil Natucha. Do we assume that since it will hurt it a lot, it's going to yank at its beard and it's going to pull out a lot of the hairs if it tries to get out of that leash? So maybe the goat will not escape. Al Dilma Zim. Or maybe no, maybe it will loosen. Whenever something is tied with hair, it could easily loosen at some point. And if it loosens, the animal will be able to escape from it without too much pain. And then you're going to end up carrying the leash. For Amos and Rosh Hashanah, Teiku, the Gemara does not resolve this question. Now going back to the discussion of Shmira Yaseira, whether Shmira Yaseira is considered to be a masui on the animal and would therefore be a violation of Shvisas Behema, or Shmira Yaseira is not a masui. So it's not. We had a Mishnah, or we will have a Mishnah in a couple of days. That the animal can't go out with the strap between its horns. So I'm Rabbi Yemri Baraba, Pligi Bar Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel. It's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, but we're not yet sure who said what. Chadamar Bein Lenoi Bein Leshamer Aser. Whether that strap is there for decoration or whether it's there to guard the animal that the animal shouldn't run away. And we're the animal in question is a cow. In that Mishnah, that the cow shouldn't run away, it's going to be Aser. If it's for Noi, so then it's a Masa. And even if it's there for Shmira, how much Shmira does a cow need? You ever see cows running wild? Cows don't run, they just stand there. So you don't have to worry about the cow running away. You don't need this sense of Shmira for a cow. This is a Shmira Yisera. And therefore, it's going to be Aser. The Chadamer, in the other opinion, says no, Lenoi Aser. If it's there for decoration, that's Aser. That's a Masui. L'shamer Mutter, but if it's there for protection, then it's going to guard it, then it's going to be mutter, even though a cow doesn't really need this level of guarding. So you see that it's a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, whether Shmira Yaseira is considered to be a masoi or not. The only thing is, we don't know who said what. So Amar Rav Yosef testayim to Shmuel, who da Amar Lenoi also l'shamer mutter. It must be that Shmuel is the one that holds that Shmira Yaseira is mutter, that if it's there l'shamer, it's mutter. How do I know that Shmuel is the one that said it based on yesterday's daf? Tamar of Huna Barchia, Amar Shmuel Halacha Kechananya, because Shmuel is the one that said, and we just said it today also, that the Halacha is like Chananya, that Chaya could go out with the Sogar, which is a Shmira Yaseira for it, and that's Mutter. So since Shmuel paskins that way, it's Mistaver, that's how he's going to touch up the Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalid, that the Isser of the Parah going out with its Ritzua Shabin Kraneha is only if it's there for Noi, but if it's there for Shmira Yaseira is mutter, and that's how Shmuel learns that Mishnah, that the Ritzua that's there for Shmira is perfectly permissible on a cow. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says Rav Yosef, Adraba, no, I'll bring you a raya that Shmuel holds the other way, that Shmira Yaseira is aser. Tis time to Shmuel who da Amar Bein Lenoi Bein Leshamer aser. I'll bring you a raya that Shmuel holds that even if it's there for Shmira, it's going to be aser. Da Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, because it was said, Rav Yudah said in the name of Shmuel. Shmuel, in relation to our Mishnah about the gamel going out with the afsar, about the gamel going out with the leash, and Naka going out with the nose ring, that Machlif and Lifnei Rebbe, the Talmidim asked the Shaila, what if you switch the different, you know, the accoutrement for the animal? What if you switch around the cases? That Shalzu Bazu, what if you have the afsar on the Naka and the nose ring on the gamel? You have the leash on the Naka and the nose ring on the gamel. So nose ring on a gamel is a Shmiri Yisera. So Mahu, what would you say the din is then? Would that be mutter to go out with? And Shmuel brings a raya that they brought in front of Rebbe about a gamel with a nose ring that it's Shmiri Yisera. Amar Lefanav, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Kach Amar Abba, that Rabbi Yossi had reported, Arba behemos yotzos ba'afsar, that there are four animals that go out with the leash, hasus, haparad, va'gomel, va'chamor. So, lav lemute gomel b'chatam, aren't we saying, yes, a gomel can go out with a camel could go out with a leash, but not with a nose ring. So, because these four animals only need a leash, and therefore they're not allowed to go out with anything that's more of a shmira than a leash. So you see that it's shmiri yisera. So Shmuel is the one that's quoting this proof. So don't you see that Shmuel holds that Shmiri Yisera is Asur? The fact that he touches up the Mishnah and Dafnan Dalid, that the cow is not allowed to go out with the Ritzua Shebein Karneha, even when it's there for Shmira, so that's a problem. Why says that? You have to say that makes it sound like Shmiri Yisera is mutter. So the Gemara answers Rav Yosef, Sami ha mikameha, that you have to get rid of one of these explanations of Shmuel in favor of the other one, meaning remove the raya that Shmiri Yisera is aser, because now we have a better raya that Shmiri Yisera is mutter. So Shmuel must have really held Shmiri Yisera is mutter, and he explained the Mishnah of Para not going out with a Ritzua Shebein Karneha only when it's there l'noi, but if it's there for Shmira, it's going to be mutter, even though it's a Shmiri Yisera. Umay chazis tim samas haimu kamehai, why would you take away the raya that Shmiri Yisera is aser in favor of the raya that Shmiri Yisera is mutter? Sami ha mikamehai, you should say the opposite. Get rid of the raya that Shmiri Yisera is mutter in favor of the raya that Shmiri Yisera is aser, and then say that Shmuel holds that Shmiri Yisera is aser, and then Shmuel would be the one that says that the Ritzua Shebein Karneha is even if it's there for Shmira, that you're not allowed to, the animal's not allowed to go with it because it's Shmiri Yisera. So Gemara says, no, Shmuel has to hold Shmiri Yisera's mutter because, and we'll skip the parentheses because it's explicit, Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav, Bein Lenoi, Bein Leshamer Osir, that Rav said that Shmiri Yisera is Osir, and Rav Chiya bar Ovin Amar Shmuel, Lenoi Osir Leshamer Mutter, that Shmuel said explicitly that if it's there Leshamer, if you have a Ritzua Shebein Karneha of a cow, where a cow doesn't need such protection, that's going to be mutter. So we see clearly that Shmuel holds that Shmiri Yisera is mutter. So asking about a meisve, so they ask on Rav. Rav wants to tell me that Shmiri Yisera is aser, but we have a Mishnah in Meseches Parah with relation to a Parah Aduma. Kashrua ba'aleha b'moseira kashera. If the owner of the Parah Aduma puts a leash on it, it could still be used as a Parah Aduma. A Parah Aduma has to be an animal that was lo ala aleha ol, that it never, there are various qualifications that a Parah Aduma has to have. It has to obviously first be all red. It can't even have shtei sa'aros that aren't red, but it also has to have never worked. It has to have never mated in order to be a Parah Aduma. A couple of years ago, there was, every couple of years, someone thinks they found the Parah Aduma and everyone gets all excited and it's all over the Jewish websites. And a couple of years ago, there was some farmer in Lakewood, non-Jewish guy in Lakewood, who had a Parah Aduma born into his flock, of all places, that happened to be in Lakewood, and religious Jew offered him $1 million for the Parah Aduma. I think there was a condition attached that it be kosher for the to be used as a Parah Aduma, and then it turned out that it was pregnant. So then you know it's possible because it obviously had mated. So that would not be a valid Parah Aduma. But let's say you attached a leash to your Parah Aduma, so that's still kosher. V'yisal kadai tuch masui hu, but if you hold that a leash is a masui, asher lo aleha ol amarachmana. The Torah says you're not allowed to have a masui on the Parah Aduma, so it should be possible. vessel, how could it be kosher? So the Gemara could have just answered that the Mishnah is going like Hananya, that Shmir Yisera is not considered a Masri, but we'd rather, meaning we already had that, it's a Machlokas Tanaim, so it's not such a kasha to say, oh look, there's a Mishnah that says that that Shmir Yisera is Mutter, that it's called just Shmir and it's not called a Masri. Yeah, that's okay, we know that there's a Tana that holds that way, there's a Tana that holds each way, but we'd rather this Mishnah and Parah fit with everybody. So to this, the Gemara has three answers. Why is it that by a Parah Aduma, it's not considered a Masui? Samar Abaye b'malicha me'ir li'ir. Maybe the circumstance with the Parah Aduma is you're taking it from one city to the next, and therefore, even though a para under normal circumstances does not require this level of shmirah, but when you're traveling, when it's being transported from one city to another, then it requires a higher level of shmirah. Rava Amar, shiny para de dameh yukarin. No, para aduma is different because even though it's you know 99% of the time a cow is not going to escape, even if it doesn't have a leash, and for all of your cows, 99% success is perfectly is a perfectly acceptable rate for you. But if you're dealing with a Parah Aduma, it's very, very expensive. So you want better than 99%. You're gonna put whatever protections you can on a Parah Aduma to make sure, because it's so expensive, to make sure that nothing happens to it. We find the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin tells us that part of the famous story of Dama ben Nesina, that Parah Aduma is expensive. That when because that was the Kibbutz Aveim story, that he didn't sell the gems that he had because for the Choshen, because his father was sleeping, and then he was rewarded the next year that a Parah Aduma was born into his flock. And the wording of the Gemara is that when that happens, he said to the Chachamim, Yodea ani bachem shani mevakesh michem kol mamon sheba'olam atem nosim li. I know that if I ask anything, all the money in the world, you'll come up with it, you'll give it to me for the Parah Aduma. So you see very clearly in that Gemara that a Parah Aduma is very expensive, and therefore it makes sense that it's going to have extra security. A third answer, Rava Amar Bimaredes, as we discussed at the beginning of the daf, that that some animals are wilder than others. So maybe if this is a particularly crazy cow, so that's why it requires this extra level of shmirah. Good. Hasus Basher. So then we said that a horse can go out with its collar, and any animal that should be collared can go out with its collar. So the Gemara discusses, my yotzin umay nimshachin. The Mishnah said that kol balei asher are yotzin b'sher and are nimshachin b'sher. So what does that mean? So Amar Rav Huna, o yotzin kruchin, o nimshachin. They can either go out with the collar wrapped around its neck, in a way that's attached to the ring in the collar, where you're not able to grab it, and the collar is just there for beauty, but it doesn't have any place to really grab it properly, or nimshachin, or the collar could be made in a way where you're able to grab onto it and lead the animal or yank the animal with it. Ushmuel amar yotzin nimshachin vein yotzin kruchin, and Shmuel disagrees. He says the collar is only, it's only allowed to go out with the collar if the collar is functional, but if it's just there for beauty, that's considered a masui, and you're not allowed to go out, the animal's not allowed to have such a collar around its neck. V'masnisa tana, yotzin kruchin limashech. In the Braisa it says that it could go out with it wrapped around its neck, limashech, to be pulled. That you have to say that the Ritva points out that it's karuch, so it's wrapped around the neck, but you leave it a little bit loose, so you can grab between the collar and the neck. So as long as, even though it doesn't have something attached to it to grab onto, but if it's loose around the neck, you can grab in between the collar and the neck and pull the animal that way. Amar Rav Yosef, chazinu lu li'igli de Rav Huna, yotzin bafsureim kruchim b'shabbos. That Rav Huna's animals used to go out with the collars wrapped around the neck in such a way where it was clearly only lunoi. It was not functional. It didn't do anything in terms of. Being able to pull the animal. It was only decorative, and apparently he held that is not considered a masui. Kiyasa, Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Rav Dimi used to travel all the time to Eretz Yisrael, and he would come back to Bavel with teachings that came from Eretz Yisrael, particularly those of Rebbe. So Am Rabbi Chanina, Mula Ushal Beis Rebbe, Yotzos Bafsarein B'Shabbos. He said that the mules of that Rebbe owned would go out with their leashes on Shabbos. So Yibayluhu. Kruchin on nimshachin. Well, they weren't sure. What did that mean? Does that mean that it was wrapped around the necks and it was only there for Noi, it was only there as a decorative thing, or is it no, that they could actually pull the animal with it? So Tashma, Kiyasa Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Chanina, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He said a name Rav Chanina, Mulo Shal Beis Rabbi Yotzos Bafsrein, Kruchim Shabbos. He added one more detail that they went with the leashes wrapped around the neck in a way that you're not able to pull the animal, and nevertheless, apparently, that's not considered a masui. So now the Gemara tries to figure out, according to Rav Dimi, can you learn that the base Rebbe, they would even go out with the base Rebbe's predos went out with the afsarim that were kruchim. So says Gemara, Amura bar kamed Ravasi, had Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, that which Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda said that the predos of base Rebbe went out with the afsareim kruchim lo tzricha. It's unnecessary. We don't need that teaching. Mid Rav Dimi nafka, because Rav Dimi already taught that the base Rebbe went out with the afsarim kruchim. So what do I need? What's he adding? What's Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda adding? Because if you're going to tell me that Rav Dimi meant that they only go out in a way where they're functional, where you could pull them, I already know that from Yehuda Mar Shmuel. They already asked Rebbe, what if you take the items that belong on this animal and put it on the other animal and vice versa? Are they allowed to go out with it? And Rabbi Shmuel bar Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel bar Yossi responded, Kach amar Abba, Arba behemos yotzim ba'afsar, hasus ha-pered ha-gomel v'chamar. So the afsar is the shmira that it needs, and it's telling us that they're not allowed to go out with a shmira yasera. A gomel is not allowed to go out with a nose ring, a pered, but a pered is one of those animals that Rabbi Yossi listed that is yotze ba'afsar. So probably Rabbi Yossi accepted that answer, and he holds that way as well, and since you already see from that Rebbe holds that a pered can go out with its afsar, so there's no chiddush in what Rav Dimi is telling me, that the predel shel beis Rebbe were yotze ba'afsar. So you have to say that Rav Dimi is telling me an additional chiddush. If I already know from Yishmael Rabbi Yossi that a pered can go out with the afsar, what's the additional chiddush that Rav Dimi was telling me? He must have been telling me about an afsar that was karuch, that was not going to be functional, that was only there for noi. So if that's the case, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda is not adding anything. Essentially, there are three levels over here. There's the statement of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi that tells me just that a pered could go out with an afsar. And then there are two more statements that we just introduced today. We have the statement of Rav Dimi that he brought back from Eretz Yisrael, and the statement of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda that was later brought back from Eretz Yisrael. So each one has to be adding on to the previous one. So I understand, the original statement just told me that it's allowed to have a functional leash. But the second one, when Rav Dimi comes, he must have been adding something more. So he must have been saying, even if it's a non-functional leash, even if it's only lanai, that's going to be asur, and that's what Rebbe did. But if Rav Dimi already taught me that, then the third statement that Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda taught, that Rebbe's predos would go out with a leash, can't be adding anything. We already learned about a functional leash from Rabbi Shmuel bar Yossi. We already learned about a non-functional leash from Rav Dimi. So what exactly is Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda teaching me? Samlu Ravasi itzrich lehu. We need Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda to say it also. Dimi Rav Yehuda nafka. Because if you'd only learn it from Rav Yehuda that quotes the suffix about the gamal b'chatam and the raya from Rav Shmuel bar Yossi, hava amina omar lefana velo kibla minei. I would have thought that you can't learn anything about what Rebbe holds from Rabbi Shmuel bar Yossi, because it could be Rabbi Shmuel bar Yossi told this to Rebbe, but Rebbe was never mekabel it. So kamash mulan to Rav Dimi. That's why I needed Rav Dimi to say, you know what? Not only did Rabbi Shmuel bar Yossi give Rebbe this psak that an animal could go out with this leash, but Rebbe listened to the psak. Rebbe accepted that psak. So Rav Dimi was not Rav Dimi. We thought statement number two was already stretching it to talk about a non-functional leash. No, statement number two is just to tell me the statement number one is legitimate. Statement number one, where Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi paskin for Rebbe that a leash is okay, I would have thought, okay, good, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi paskin that way. I don't know if Rebbe listened, so it just comes to teach me that Rebbe did listen. Vid Rav Dimi, if you only had Rav Dimi, hava mina hani milinim shachid, I would think, yeah, but it's still only if it's a functional leash. Aval kruchin, but a decorative leash, low. I would think that that's still not permissible. So kamash malan, that's why he has to tell me, Rav Shmuel Bar Bar Yehuda. That's why I need Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda to tell me that even a decorative leash is also going to be permissible. So that's why I need the three statements. You have the original statement of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi paskining for Rebbe that a leash is okay, but I still don't know if Rebbe accepted that psak. That's where Rav Dimi comes along, that Rebbe accepted that psak, but I still only know that psak applies to a functional leash. Comes along, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda tells me that the psak applies even to a non-functional leash, even to a decorative leash. So now the Gemara discusses how it could be that a collar is ever going to be mekabel tuma in the first place. We said mazna lein v'tovim b'mekomen. The Mishnah said they could sprinkle the ashes of the paraduma on the collar to be metired from tumas meis. You could tovel the collar while it's still on the animal. So apparently it became tame. Lememra, did b'nei kibuli tuma ninu? You mean to tell me a collar could become tame? Vatnan tabas adam tameya. We have a Mishnah Maseches Kelim that jewelry of people is mekabel tuma. That a ring that a person wears is mekabel tuma. And that the Mishnah derives from the pasuk by Melchemes Midyan when it describes all the spoils of the Melchama. So the pasuk describes that it describes among the spoils, it describes rings, it describes tzamit, tabas, agil, v'kumas, and it says that kol orig nefesh v'kol nageh b'chol tischatu b'yom ha'shlish v'yom ha'shvi, that it describes the tara process for all the stuff that you got, and among the stuff that we got, it describes jewelry. So you see very clearly that jewelry that people wear is in fact mekabel tuma, but tabas behema ukelim v'shar kol tabos, but rings for animals like the collar around its neck and a tabas that you would have on kalim, why would you have a ring on a kli? Like to lift up a pot cover would have a ring at the top to pull it up. So a ring on top of a kli and all other tabaos, you know, a ring on a door to a door knocker or something like that. Toros, all of those are tar, all of those things cannot be mekabel tuma. So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, bibon minoy adam lenoy behema. So again, we have a kasha over here. Rabbi Yitzchak is trying to answer the kasha. The kasha is, how could our Mishnah say that you are being metaher the collar around the animal's neck? We have a Mishnah Maseches Kelim that says that collars around an animal's neck are not mekabel tuma at all. So why would they ever need a tahara? So answer number one, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, bibon minoy adam lenoy behema. We must be talking about a collar that was originally a woman's choker. It was originally a person's jewelry, and then the owner of it decided that they upgraded their own jewelry collection, and this one is going to be reserved for their behema. Whether their previous jewelry collection was not so impressive and therefore was ra'oi to use for a behema, or sometimes people treat their behemas like people and they dress them up in all sorts of fancy clothing and things. So you see dogs walking around sometimes with so they decided that this is going to be the behema's jewelry at this point. But it became tamei while it was. While it belonged to a human. So that tumah doesn't go away just because you decided to stick it on your dog. So it's still going to be tameh. That's how it could be that it's tameh. That's how Rashi understands that it had to have become tameh while it still belonged to a person. Tosfos, on Amud Aleph, in Dibur HaMaskil B'Bayin, writes that you don't have to say that it was actually mekabel tumah while it was being used for tachshir adam. You could even say that once you were miyachid it for a behema, it's still mekabel tuma, because since initially it belonged to a person, it was b'toras kabbalas tuma. It was an item that was eligible for kabbalas tuma. In order to change that status, changing your mind of how you're going to use it is not enough. In order to change the status of being receptive to tuma, you need to do a maisa, and you didn't do any maisa. You just decided that you're going to use this for your animal. You didn't do anything. You didn't change the actual nature of the collar, and therefore for Tosa says, even if it was not tame while it was still being used for a person, it could still be become tame even as it's being used for an animal. Rav Yosef, so that's all answer number one, that it used to be a person's jewelry and now it's an animal's jewelry. Answer number two, Rav Yosef Amar, Holva de Moshech Bemes Abehema. What do you mean? It is for a person. You think the animal wants the collar? The collar's there so that the person could pull the animal. So that's for the benefit of a person. We would consider this jewelry of a person. Not that a person wears to look nice, but it benefits the person. Milo Tanya, Makal Shel Behema. After all, we learned that if you have a stick that's made to hit an animal, to make the animal do what you want it to do. So Shel Mateches, if it's made out of metal, Mekabel Tuma, it's Mekabel Tuma. Matam, why would it be Mekabel Tuma? It's just for an animal. No, Hol Vadam Roda Behen, because it benefits the person, so the person can get the animal to do what he wants. So Achanami, Hol Vadam Moshech Behen. The same is true with the collar, that it benefits the person. Then we said in the Mishnah, "Vitovlan bin Mekomban," that if the collar became tameh, you can tovel it just by leaving it on the animal's neck and letting the animal dip with the collar on the neck. Even though lechora the collar is connected so tightly to a ring that it creates a chatzitza. So havayika chatzitza says, "Where isn't that a chatzitza between the ring and the collar?" And apparently they're viewed as two separate kelim, and therefore you can't have a chatzitza if they were connected and they were viewed as one kli, then that wouldn't be called the chatzitza. But apparently we view the ring and the collar as two separate kelim. So Rabbi Ami b'sharitchan. The case must be that you hammered out the collar a little bit so that you widen the hole where the ring is, so that the ring is loosely now fit into the hole, and therefore there's not going to be a chatzitza anymore. So Rabbi Ami k'Rabbi Yosef svirle. It must be that Rabbi Ami holds like Rabbi Yosef, who says that a collar is mekabel tuma because it's a kli that's meshamesh a person, right? That's meaning we had two answers why a collar is mekabel tuma in the first place. One answer was that it used to be used by people, and therefore it still retains that status because you haven't done anything physical to it to change it. And the other answer was that even currently it's being used by a person to help guide the behemah. It must be that Rabbi Ami holds like that second answer. Because if he holds like Rabbi Yitzchak's answer, that since it was once used by a person and you've done nothing to change it, so therefore it's still mekabel tuma. Well, over here, Rabbi Ami just said you did do something to change it. Kiven deritchan avad b'maisa, since you hammered it out in order to be able to make that the ring doesn't fit so snugly into the hole, so that's a maisa. Uparchal atuma minayu, and therefore the status of tuma that it had previously when it belonged to a person would go away. Detanan, because that's the Mishnah Maseches Kelim, that kol hakelim yordin l'day tumasim b'machshava. When is a kli ready to become tamei? As soon as you decide you're finished making it. You decide that this is a complete kli. But vein olam tumasim el b'shinu meisa. The only way a kli loses its tuma status is if you actually do something. A decision is not enough. You have to actually do a meisa. Savilak k'Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara answers, no, you don't have to say that Rabbi Ami holds like Rabbi Yosef. It could be that he holds even like Rabbi Yitzchak. It should have become tahar when you hammered it out. Savla Rabbi Yehuda damar ma'isa l'sakin lav ma'isahu. He must hold that a ma'isa that's meant to be mesakin the kli is not considered a ma'isa. That only a mesakin that's going to be matarit from its tuma. And when he's marchiv the nekev, he makes it that it's no longer usable for jewelry that a person would wear, but it's mesakin it for the animal. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda amar lo amar shinu ma'isa l'sakin el lekalkel. That shinu ma'isa is only if you mekalkel it, if you ruin it, and now it's downgraded from Kabbalah's tuma. But if you do a ma'isa that's mesakin it, so then it's still going to be mekabel tuma. B'masnisa tani b'mechulalin. Then we have a brisa that gives a totally different answer. That maybe this is a kind of kalla that's connected to a ring in the first place, where it doesn't fit so perfectly. It's not such a snug fit, and therefore there is no chatzitza issue. So now says Gemara, Shol Talmud Achmi Galil El Yonis Rebbe Lezer. Shamati Shacholkin Bein Tabas L'Tabas. He said, I heard a rumor that there's some sort of distinction between different types of rings in halacha. But he didn't even know what area of halacha there's a distinction between different types of rings. Some lo shem lo shamata el in Shabbos. Maybe you heard about Shabbos that there's different types of rings. That there are rings that have a signet on it, which are a masui, and then there are rings that are purely decorative, which are not a masui and are not a nisidaraisa to wear on Shabbos. Dilin yin tuma davadachadi. Because as far as tuma and tara, there's no distinction between any types of rings. Says more, are you sure? Ulin yin tuma davadachadi. Are you sure there's no distinction between rings when it comes to tuma? Va'tanan, but the Mishnah tells us in Kalim, Tabas, Adam, Temeyav, Tabas, Behema, Avikalim, Mishar called the Baz Taurus. What about the Mishnah we quoted earlier that a human's ring is Tameya, but a ring on anything else, on an animal, on a Kli, is Tahar? Now, Kikamle Yunami, the Adam Kamle. When he said that there's no distinction between different rings, he means different rings that are used by people. The Adam Davda Achasi, are you sure about that? Vatanya Tabas Sheskinu Lachgurba Maslov, Lichaba Bank Seifav, Tahara, a ring that's used to be functional, to be a belt buckle or a strap on your suspenders or something. So that's Tahara. Vlamru Tameel, Shaletzba Bulvad. The only ring that's Tame is a ring that you wear on your finger. So Ki Kamale Iunami, De Etzba Kamale. No, no, I meant that there's no distinction between different types of rings. I meant rings used by humans on their fingers, that there's no distinction within that category. So it says more, that's what Davda Achasi. Are you sure there's no distinction in that category? If you have a ring that's fundamentally metal, it's just that the signet is made out of wood, Tamei, it's going to be Tamei, because we look at what the ring is primarily made out of. If the ring is primarily wood and the chosam is made out of metal, then it's Tahora. So don't you see a distinction between different types of rings that are worn by people and they are that are worn by people on their fingers? So says Mar Ki Kamalei Ihunami Kula Shal Mateches Kamalei. Now what we meant to say is that there's no distinction between different types of rings that are worn by people on their fingers and made out of metal. Once you have all of those three qualifications, then there's no distinction between different types of rings. So the only time you're going to, the only halacha that you're going to distinguish between different types of rings for is in Hilchos Shabbos. Because in Hilchos Shabbos, if you have a ring that has a signet on it, then it's an Isidor Raisa to wear it outside on Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah. But if you have a ring that doesn't have a signet on it, it's only an Isidor Rabbanan to wear it on Shabbos. It's still Aser. It's Aser Midor Rabbanan because beautiful jewelry, we assume that a woman is going to take off and show to her friend, and once she takes it off, it's going to she's going to carry it for Amos in a Rosh Hasharabim. So we're a little bit short of the Mishnah, but we'll pick up from there tomorrow with Va'od Sha'al Shamati Shecholkin Bein Machad LeMachad. Everyone should have a wonderful day.